Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh. Hey, buddy.
Where right now I want to remind you that I picked the Bucks to go to the NBA Finals. Oh, wait. Brooklyn has the lead. No. I did not pick the Bucks. Oh, no, wait. Now it's tied. Nope. I did pick the Bucks. Nope, the Bucks have the lead. I did pick the Bucks.
I tell you what, you liked them after the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then they forgot to play in the second, and suddenly all of that melted away.
You know,
what a game. And then there's like 9 minutes where nobody scores.
Right. And that's the thing. How many times did you see online today that what was it? Was it Vegas that needed the Bucks and the under tonight to win? Right. Was that what it was?
I saw a lot of
Bucks in the under tonight. Look,
well, just the way that Brooklyn had been scoring at such a really prolific pace.
Yeah, this is like a Knicks game. I mean, it's 80 to 78 with 2 minutes to go in the game. This is going to be like one of those NBA Finals games from 1994. And Jordan's 28 points lead the Bulls by the Knicks, 89-85. Game five is Friday night.
Yeah, as we come inside the two-minute mark of this game, the Nets shooting 37%, 8 of 31 from three-point range at 23%. And the Bucks are down at 37% to 6 of 31. Not aesthetically pleasing. We did have near fisticuffs, so that was fun. Still trying to lip read exactly what P.J. Tucker said to Kevin Durant with about 4 minutes left in the third quarter that got him to do a double take. Security ran onto the court. It was chaos. But calmer heads prevailed, and now we're just grinding out the final minutes.
Yeah, I mean, really, do we? I don't know. We needed a fight to make it better. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I think we did.
I mean, the thing is, though, you still have big games from the star players.
Sure.
It's nobody else that's scoring. Look, KD just hits a huge three just now to give the Nets an 83-80 lead. There's a timeout with just over a minute left to go, right? He's having a big night, right? He's 33-11-5. Okay, that's fine. You know, Kyrie, you know, has 22. That's great. Giannis has 33. Middleton has 31. So really, it's like, okay, all the stars are playing well. Boy, it's everybody else that just stinks.
Bruce Brown, baby. 8-15. He's got 16-10. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, you're the Bucks. You walk away from this game and you go, did we really just lose to Bruce Brown?
Well, I mean, Joe Harris is 1 of 10.
Did we really just lose to Bruce Brown?
1 of 7 from 3. Yeah, it's the Bruce Brown game. We always talk about how you need that one guy to pop out in a series to make a difference. And after, look, the Bucks played dead. Just call it what it is. Make all your roadkill jokes off those first two games. The fact that they came out like a house of fire was great, but you've got Bruce Brown.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. This is going to be the Bruce Brown game. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, the Bucks are going to go, we lost to Bruce bleeping Brown. I mean, this guy's 16-10, right? I mean, he's only playing because of injury, and we don't have to worry about James Harden, and Bruce Brown is coming in, and he's going to be the difference. Because our stars, Giannis and Middleton, were better than KD and Kyrie, right?
Well, Middleton finally had a game.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
33-14.
Mm-hmm.
50% from the field, 50% mm-hmm. from three-point range. Finally, you get Middleton to show up and give you what you've been thirsting for. And it doesn't matter, at least in the moment.
It really is just crazy. Now, I'm going to give you a number here, all right?
Yeah.
And this is going to be nuts, right? We're in the final minute of the game, right? We're in the final minute of the game, and it's 83-82. Brooklyn leads over Milwaukee. All right, now we talked about it, right? Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, the two stars, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for the Bucks, Giannis and Chris Middleton. If you take them out, okay, if you take those four players out, just these mm-hmm. four, right? This is a full game that's been played now, right? The bench is played. Everybody, this is not midway through the second quarter. This is not. If you take those four out, the score of the game is 31-16 Nets.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if you take those four, it's 31-16 Nets.
Even better, 13 points combined off the bench from both teams.
Well, I'll tell you, man.
Combined zero production whatsoever. And it's not like Durant shot the ball well. He's just pure volume today.
Right. But sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need that. Sure. Sometimes when you know you need, that's what you want. You want him to, nobody else is hitting, so it's not like, boy, I really wish that Harris would take more shots. No, no, no. KD's got to keep shooting. That's just the way it goes. So sometimes you need a volume night like this. But this game is insanely bad and yet also riveting and somewhat impressive. But really, if the Nets go and win the title, we're going to look back and say, let's look back at the road to the NBA title for the Nets. And remember the Bruce Brown game? Oh, game three against the Bucks in the conference semifinals and blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, hey, it's the Bruce Brown game.
Yep, gotta always have that unsung star. And it'll be part of the video package. Let's talk about Bruce Brown.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right. From? Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, like when you go to the chapters on the disc, chapter 17 was all about Bruce Brown. Instrumental in that game three.
Right now, there is a timeout on the floor. 11 seconds left to go. And the Bucks, who remember, I picked to go to the NBA Finals. I picked the Bucks to go to the NBA Finals. Lead the Nets 84-83. The Nets come down with a two-point lead and under 30 seconds left to go. And Bruce Brown misses a wide-open 15-foot pull-up. The rebound goes to the Bucks. Drew Holiday has an incredible drive. He spun around about five times, goes in for the layup, and the Bucks have the one-point lead, 84-83, with 11 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter. The Bucks, I picked them to go to the finals, are either getting back in it, or the Bucks are no longer I never picked them to go to the NBA finals. So they're either my Bucks or they're not in the next 11.4 seconds.
Disavowing any knowledge of them. I've never heard of them.
It's all
it's like, what's the deal? Well, he's in an alternate timeline. He never experienced the Bucks in this 2020-2021 season.
I'm in Loki, right? I'm in Loki. There's one timeline. What about the other timelines? There's just one timeline.
Madeline and I sat and watched it today. I saw so much hate for it online. It's like, okay, number one, people are so used to instant everything. Slow builds are okay. It felt to me like a play, much of it. Like, here's two actors, and there's a little bit of stuff going on behind them, maybe a video screen with them, but it's just getting in there. And I loved it. I thought it was great, and I'll go back and watch it again. I had fun with it because it was simple. It wasn't all the gadgetry that I think everybody was so anticipating, so they're mad.
No, it was kind of like, it was a little bit like Men in Black, where we have to explain what's going on. And here's one thing that Marvel did, which is great, which, you know, sometimes they don't do, is that they spent a lot of time saying that, hey, we're going to explain what's going on here. And we're going to take our time. So it doesn't look like we're slapdashing this thing together and now you're out and it's time. So they did a really good job. Hey, we're going to spend a lot of time with the setup because it's we don't want it to get too complicated because this series is going to set up the next phase of the MCU, right? With multiverse and why so you have to explain. So I don't mind it. I didn't mind it. And I thought Owen Wilson was terrific. I'm like, wow, you know, he's going to get a lot of attention. He's going to jumpstart his career again.
Well, and Wedding Crashers 2 is in production.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I thought it was kind of in the middle. Man's most dangerous game, huh? Want to go on another human? I thought it was kind of in the middle. Like, it wasn't quite as great as WandaVision, because WandaVision was just spectacular. And it wasn't quite as cookie-cutter as Falcon and Winter Soldier. Right, it's kind of in the middle right now. It's got the fun elements, they have the personalities, and it's going to be something that you're going to see is just going to continue to grow. Okay, great. So I feel like it's kind of in the middle right now, but I like the direction it's going. And, you know, you hit it on the head when you said the other night, it looks like it's like a detective show, because, like, you're finding out, it's a whodunit. You're trying to find out who's committing this big crime, and Loki's involved, and Owen Wilson is involved, and then pretty soon they're going to get a bunch of people who know how to drill oil, and they're going to put them in a spaceship, and they're going to take them out to space with Affleck and Willis, and they're going to drill holes and try to stop the Earth from being blown up. It's going to be like Armageddon 2.
It's a fun base to it, just like we're coming to a fantastic finish in what was an otherwise it's a close game after the second quarter run, so I guess it had that going for it. But the Bucks, your Bucks, trying to put the finishing touches on a victory. Madness.
Hey, look.
They showed life. That's good. Man, Budenholzer didn't have to call them out and call them soft and quitters like Michael Malone has done three times to the Nuggets in the playoffs. And it's only the second round, man.
Right now, there are 2 seconds left in the game. The Bucks with a 3-point lead over the Nets. The Nets with a chance to take the lead down. Kyrie Irving misses on a lay-in. And they have to foul because the Bucks get the rebound. Middleton makes both free throws. So it's a 3-point lead right now with 2 seconds left to go in the game. The Nets will get a chance for one final heave to try and tie this game and send it to overtime. But, you know, here's the Nets at the end. KD does not take a shot in the final minute. It wasn't Kevin Durant. The last made shot he had, the last shot he took was with a 1:55 left to go to tie the game at 80 apiece. And then when it comes down to it, Bruce Brown misses a jumper and Kyrie Irving misses a layup. And it looks like the Nets are about 2.1 seconds away from being up 2-1 instead of 3-0.
Well, we've got a series. So good.
Yeah. My Bucks.
So good. Well,
my
I mean, look, I was starting to get nervous that they were just going to get run out. And then it becomes all about what's Giannis doing and his Budenholzer are going to get fired. Well, when will Budenholzer get fired? Because we got a bunch of openings here in the NBA. Why not one more?
Oh, yeah.
Think we need one more? And all the bashing of Giannis. Look, he didn't shoot particularly well, but a win's a win. And you succeed and proceed, as we love to say around here. But for Giannis, a big game, a little bit of validation, and hit a couple of big mid-range jump shots, which hadn't been falling for him. 14 of 31 on the night, 33 and 14, couple of assists, 5 turnovers, but that's fine. Still plus 5 in the plus-minus column. So for him, a little bit of a sigh of relief, at least for a moment, because the poison pens were out.
Kevin Durant just misses a pretty wild 3 from about 35 feet off the back of the rim. No foul. And so the game is over. The Bucks beat the Nets 86-83. KD, nope, didn't even say, up. I got fouled. He had the shot. It wasn't a great look, but it's about as good a look as you're going to get at that point. And KD really had a great push-off to set himself up for the shot. So KD misses, and the Nets lead is cut in half. My Bucks. I'm like, I always knew my Bucks would get it done. I always knew. You know, people said,
is that
the
strategy going forward? Is I'm going to threaten to abandon them nationally for 4 hours. I'm going to bash their effort, bash their fans, bash the state of Wisconsin. I mean, you did all of that on Tuesday night, and then you took a night off. So I had to be here with Ryan Hollins talking about all this stuff, people saying all sorts of crazy stuff about you.
Wow.
But, you know, for one night, we're back to where they're your Bucks. You reclaim them.
My Bucks.
I think you have to send some money or buy somebody some cheese or beer or something, but or maybe a hunting license. I'm not sure.
You know, there's actually beer cheese soup that I've had that's really, really tasty.
If done properly, beer cheese soup can be fantastic.
It is fantastic.
And my Midwest roots are showing.
That's right. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. So my Bucks win it. 86-83. The 1994 NBA playoffs continue. Yes, 86-83 is your final score. And the Bucks. And look, the NBA is happy. The Nets are in a series. They get more of the big three. They get more of Giannis.
Sure.
This is a big night. Clearly, overall, of all the big stars, he had the best night. With 33 and 14, he and Middleton both completely outplayed KD and Kyrie Irving. But when you add Bruce Brown in, it happens that way. So it was a big night for the Bucks, big two. But who I feel bad for, Mike, is that now it's no longer the Bruce Brown game.
No,
I mean,
he missed
that already didn't age well.
Jumper, and that was it.
Yeah, that didn't age well. The Bruce Brown game,
you know,
it didn't
what?
Age well.
But you have to talk about it. We do live. I mean, it's live theater. It's in the moment. You know, we're not working off a script. Nobody's in our ears telling us what to say or prompters or anything. No, this is all live and in living color with the games in progress. We're about to get into Clippers and Jazz. I mean, how great is that going to be? But, yeah, it was Bruce Brown's game for those 4 minutes. Mm. I mean, we can NFT it because it'll never live again.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So it looks like we are getting or going to get the 12-team college football playoff that has been thrown about the last couple of days. There's a couple of big meetings that are going on right now in which the college football playoff committee is going to consider expanding to a 12-team format. When it meets in Chicago next week, this is the big topic on the table. Now, what would it be? It would be the top six ranked conference champions and six wild cards. That would be that's the main portion of the plan right now. Now, there's a lot of good to this, which basically is everything. We're getting a 12-team playoff. This is more teams that are involved. This is fantastic. This is everything you'd possibly want.
Absolutely.
And I've gone through and seen what people who don't like it are saying across social media, and because that's really what I want to know. Okay, if you don't like it, tell me why this is a bad idea when everything else points to the great idea this is. And here are the three things that I have seen for why people say, oh, I don't like this idea. All right, here's the first one, is that you water down the playoffs a little bit. Okay,
yawn.
We're watering down the playoffs. We didn't go from four teams to 50. All right, you know, you're not going to see, hey, the fifth-ranked Texas A&M Aggies, they're going to play the 50th-ranked Syracuse Orange. Boy, that's going to be a bust. No, you're letting in eight extra teams of the 120 teams in D1. You're not watering it down. You're putting pretty good teams out there. And, you know, in a sport where if you lose one game and it's the wrong one game, you get voted out. Tell me how that's fair. You're not watering down the playoff. Oh, well, so-and-so, this team lost three games. Well, you know what then? The team that has to play that team that lost three games is going to feel like we got an easy game going on here. I mean, I don't see how you're watering it down when teams get left out regularly that you can make a case for. One-loss teams that are ranked, you know, fifth and sixth and seventh, or two-loss teams when you're taking a bunch of one-loss teams and you got a two-loss team that lost a game here or a game here, they didn't have their quarterback this game or something else happened. You're not watering down the playoffs at all. You're putting in the best of the best. You're just saying we're going to put in a couple more of the great teams. Because are you telling me Oklahoma maybe last year couldn't have gone on a run? You know, if Oklahoma was in the play, because they would have been a team in the playoff last year, if you're talking about 12 teams. Yeah, yeah. You're talking about teams that could have got in. So, you know, we can make a run. UT would have got in. Northwestern would have got in last year.
Yep.
They almost won the Big Ten. How many people were sweating their asses off going, oh, my God, Northwestern could be in the playoff. We might
that,
have to let
baby.
Northwestern in.
Hey,
I mean, really.
Don't you let – they were to earn their way. Let in my ass.
Well, they still would have to be invited. I mean, it's not, you know, they still have to be invited into the
– yeah, I would have crashed the door.
Yeah, but that's the first one, is that you're not watering it down. You're adding in other really good teams that have been left out.
It's a terrible argument, right? And folks will say, well, look, there'll be another couple of blowouts. Maybe there will. Maybe they won't. Maybe you've got teams that start looking ahead. Maybe that's, like, as you said, the two-loss teams that get in, or even the one-loss. Maybe it was in September, and it came back to bite them in the ass because, well, they just – a numbers game. And weren't able to make up the ground. Maybe it's, you know, a, quote, bad loss in September, and then they go on a run. Or, as you say, in the middle of the season, you got an injury, and the starter has to go out, and they lose a narrow, you know, take a narrow loss. That's immense, and would be, how many times in the past, something that keeps you out of the Final Four. Now you get in, and you have a chance. And if after 5 years... this proves that you got nothing but blowouts, you know, like the NBA playoffs most night, then yeah, you can complain about it. But in the interim, it's just foolish. You're just looking for a reason that you don't like change.
Oh, yeah.
And let people on your lawn.
All these reasons have one thing in common. I just don't like something new. That's every single reason. I don't like this because it's new. Okay. Well, new things have to happen. I don't like it's new. It's new. All right. So that's the first one, right? All right. So that's the first one, is that you water it down. All right. That's a load of crap, right? That's an absolute load of crap. Second one, right? Why we don't like it. I don't like it. The regular season won't mean as much. Right. Because and I do understand that, boy, the stakes for a game early on in the season, if Ohio State is playing Oklahoma or Oklahoma's playing USC, and these are both big teams that can win. OK, I get where that loss is really damaging. I understand that. But you want those games to still be played, don't you? I mean, because if you stick with this, why would USC play Oklahoma ever again? Why would those two teams ever play each other? They can't, because I don't want to risk that we're going to lose this one game and then we lose one game in conference, and instead of being a playoff team or playing in the conference championship, we're out. All right, so you want these games to still be played. If you like these games, and this is what's going to ensure it, okay, we'll still play these games. They're big deals. It's big money for us. And we'll still play, because what we have to do is win our conference, or we can be one of the six at-large teams. If you like those games, this is how they stay. And the other part of it is, you're really going to tell me that if USC is playing Oklahoma in week two of the regular season and it's a huge game, less people are going to watch it? You're going to watch USC Oklahoma? I was going to, but now that there's 12 teams in the playoff, I really don't need to, because both these teams got, so I'm not going to watch this game. I mean, that's really what you're saying, is that all these games won't mean as much. So what? But no one's going to watch? Really? That's what it's going to be? That's going to make you, they're all going to make the playoffs. I'm just not going to watch this game. Of course you're going to watch the big games going on in college football if they're on Saturday. There's big games on every week that you can watch. You watch all the big games. There's five big games every single week. Oh, well, this is not real. And a lot of them don't affect the top four picks or the top four places in the college football play, but people still watch them. They're still big deals. They're big SEC games. I mean, I don't see how that argument holds water either.
So sad. So, I mean, one of the worst, this might be the worst of the arguments, just from the concept of, we like these staged games, right, that they announce 7 years in advance. Mm-hmm. Right, we're starting to get stuff on the books for 2026, 2027. Hell, they did the huge event launch to talk about the Wildcats going to Dublin next year. By the way, I'll be out for a few days, okay. But you'll find me. But I'll be calling.
You're never coming back.
I may not. I may not. I may start roaming the fields. Might buy myself some farmland. You don't know.
Almond's going to call in from. He's going to call in from a pub. You know, this fella. He's on radio. No, not BBC. He's over in America.
You're sounding
on the Fox.
Like James Corden. Yeah.
He's on the Fox. That's right. That's what it is. It's what I'm doing. It's where you'd be calling in from.
No. You need to watch more Conor McGregor interviews and stuff. And
would you like a warm pint before you go on the air, sir?
Maybe start getting down that road.
I can get you a really warm pint of beer. Really, really
warm.
That
would
be pretty
good.
Like we kept it out in the sun.
Yeah, I can get down with that. But like, we have these marquee games that are so hyped, and they're travel destinations for their fans and for the college football universe. Everything circles to them. That's not going to change. And again, it goes back to the one loss versus two. Even if you take an L there, you get some style points for putting yourself in a difficult matchup, and then just go take care of business thereafter. I don't see how that hurts anything, because we're not talking about, fourth-tier teams that suddenly show up in week one going, hey, we want to be noticed. No. We're still talking the best of the best, top 25 teams that are going to be in these marquee kickoff classic type things. So, again, doesn't hold any weight.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So really, this stuff just doesn't make sense to say this is why we're not going to have a playoff. I want everybody to leave the front of my house right now so I can stand on my lawn without a shirt on and water it. That's what I want to do. Okay, and I'm just going to wear shorts and sock supporters and sandals. And I'm going to tell you why the old way they did things, which is to play a 6-game regular season and then vote Army in Notre Dame at the top, is the right way to do things.
Nicely done.
That's what I feel like everybody is.
By the way, how much do you think Larry Scott hates that this idea is coming to fruition?
Yeah.
Right as he's leaving? Because he did a lot of complaining the last 48 hours of how he got screwed time and again. And it's like, hey, 12-team playoff. And as Frostburg so astutely played, said, hey, Slovis might have been able to play for the ship.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Right now, third quarter, can take a bit of a deep breath. Wasn't quite the blowout that it was a few minutes ago. The Clippers were getting absolutely worked by Utah. They had a 20-point lead, and now that lead has been cut to 12. The Clippers now outscoring Utah so far in the third quarter, make it now an 82-69 lead for the Jazz over the Clippers. Donovan Mitchell right now with 30 points leading the way. Jordan Clarkson with 18 off the bench. Meanwhile, for the Clippers, it's Kawhi with 19, Paul George with 11, but a game that was getting away from the Clippers. They're starting to reel it back in a little bit here, still midway through the third quarter. A lot of time left, and right now I can still say I picked the Clippers to go to the NBA Finals. Maybe after tonight I say I did not pick the Clippers to go, but right now I can say, okay, if they're down, it's still a lot of time left. We're still saying it. Another few minutes, Mike, and I may have to disavow that entirely.
You're just going to bounce away from them altogether? Oh, yeah. That'll make you you're going to have to leave Los Angeles then.
Oh, I don't know about that. No.
Although, I mean, there is the argument, and I've heard it on local radio, and the question becomes, are the Clippers more interesting and a better national story than they are an L.A. story?
That's – you know what? Listen,
I'm just calling it what it is, right? Because the Lakers lost, and what immediately happened is like, all right, what do we do with the Dodgers? Okay, the pesky Padres are there. The Giants are having a fantastic season. And what else happens with the Lakers, right? We brought it up two nights ago, right, when Jason Kidd said, hey, I thanks, but no thanks. I'm not going to Portland. You and I talked about it a bit. I asked Hollins the question of, is a coup being staged? And he just looked at me, and those eyes got wide. He goes, oh, man. You got to think he knows something, right? And you know, so, hey, and you know, that's far more interesting than, hey, are you getting beat by Donovan Mitchell?
Boy, you can't stop him. Boy, he's really good. No, there is a ton to that because, look, that's a topic that we threw out there a month ago when it came to the Nets and the Knicks. Right here we're getting into the play. Actually, it was right around the time the end of the season, the playoffs were getting set to start. And look, the Knicks own New York. They always do. And the Nets are a more national story because they have the stars. They got KD. They got Kyrie Irving. They have James Harden. That is absolutely the truth. This battle of they're never going to win in that backyard. But a national story because when you have the stars, that's what we care about. It's the same thing in Los Angeles. Hey, the Lakers are always going to own the town. But the Clippers, hey, they could be a big story nationally because they have the stars. And clearly they have been. If you can cut your niche out like that, that's awesome. But what the big key is going to be, and I'm telling you this, is that let's see how big a deal they are. Because for all of the love of KD and Harden and Kyrie and Kawhi and Paul George, when it comes down to it, if they're the number one attraction in the NBA Finals, is it still the same? Like, if the Nets make it to the finals, do enough people care? Are we going to see such a huge uptick because of these stars? Or is it going to be, well, you know, just because they're talked about a lot, it's a little bit, we take it that they're more popular than they really are? Because we talk about the stars,
it ain't
right?
Always about popularity, though, right?
No, but hate watching
is a very popular thing.
True,
as well.
But those
three guys are going to bring the pain.
Yeah, but is KD as much of a good of a hate watch as LeBron? Or is it just, well, you know, look, we see it on the TV shows every day and all the daytime shows that want to talk. Well, we can't talk about LeBron now. Let's go in on KD and let's treat KD like he's LeBron. I'm sorry, KD isn't. KD's a great story, but he's not LeBron.
Yeah, but all three of them, it's like the NWO. It's like Hogan, Nash, and Big Scott Hall getting together. You were either fully on board or you hated what was going on and you heard the song.
Bigger
and they
ratings.
Started strolling down. That was it.
Let me ask you this. What would have been bigger ratings in the NBA? If the NBA Finals were Lakers-Knicks or if they're Nets-Clippers? What's the bigger ratings?
No, obviously it's Lakers-Knicks.
Okay.
So by far. Hate-watching of LeBron takes you to a whole other level.
Boy, I hope that people are rooting for the Knicks going, I've never rooted for the Knicks before in my life.
That's
amazing.
But that's absolutely what would happen.
But
there's no question, especially all the older folks that don't want any more of this legacy and history talk of LeBron getting another chip. Are you kidding me?
You know, but the thing though, I wonder with the other players is, as popular as they are, just because we talk about them, do they really move the needle as much as players like LeBron do? You know, like is KD as just be, you know, look, we talk about it because LeBron is out of the playoffs and it's KD. Kevin Durant. What's going on with the Nets? All the drama that's always happened. Just because we talk about him a lot doesn't mean he affects the needle as much as LeBron James does. I mean, for all you say, it's still a LeBron league, man. It is still a LeBron James league 100%. And Kevin Durant is interesting, right? The guy, he's got the thinnest skin of anybody in the game. Everything he hears, he's got to respond to. He got into it tonight, you know, in the middle of the game because he didn't like what PJ Tucker was saying to him. You know, yeah. Kyrie Irving is incredibly interesting. He's maddening. He's a wild card. And James Harden is a guy that we've watched him do things in the playoffs and watched him get to the point where you think he's going to lead his team through, and then he doesn't. And now he's not playing. Just because they're talked about doesn't mean that the impact is as much. People care about them as much as they care about LeBron James. So I'm curious to see what an NBA Finals rating of the Nets versus insert team X here, because it could be Utah, could be Phoenix, because as much of a great NBA story as Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell are, is that going to mean the average NBA fan is going to be wrapped up in the NBA Finals? But Donovan Mitchell's great. Yeah, look, I know he's great. That's an NBA Finals for the hardcore NBA fan. The guys yes. are going to watch all the time. So that's going to be your big litmus test. This big three in Brooklyn, is it that big a deal? Is KD and Kyrie and James Harden, are they really that big a deal? And that's the most interesting thing to me in the playoffs, is that as they go on, all the attention around them, does it match what people's real interest level in it is? It's like the Tim Tebow story, right? Tebow's a big, look at this, we talk about him, can he be a tight end, can he not? Everybody starts talking about it during the day, you know, we talked about it. But do people really care that much about Tim Tebow? Or is it just, hey, it's a Tebow headline and, you know, hey, we all know who he is, so we pay attention to it. But is it really that big a deal? Do people really care that much? To me, all the NBA playoffs now that LeBron is out, the Knicks are out, you're looking at some kind of combination of new teams that could be making it. That's going to be the big thing. Let me see what the ratings for the conference finals and the NBA finals are. Are people going to really care about them and validate the amount of time that is talked about them during the day on shows, nighttime shows? Look, I'm not saying other shows, not us. I mean us as well, you know, because you okay, well, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and they're the story. But are they really the story? Is it that big a deal? That, to me, is the most fascinating part of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess it's all trying to figure out how do we best measure that. Because if you're just going to TV ratings, you know, this isn't the 1960s, right? We've got other things to measure, other mechanisms by which people consume, and it's generally not full games. I think we're a rare breed anymore. Because remember, the joke for the last 15 years of the NBA was turn it on, you know, an hour and a half into its scheduled broadcast, see where the game is, and then set a timer for 20 minutes and check back in if you didn't like the first result. Mm-hmm. And then maybe it's a game, otherwise insert sitcom rerun here. Right? I mean, that's kind of what the NBA had long been. But when you start thinking about all the different social media avenues and the way we consume highlights and super clips and YouTube channels and ex-players with podcasts now, I mean, there's just different audiences that bring this together that doesn't necessarily go to the standard broadcast that we've seen, you know, for all our lives. Hell, think about the origins of the NBA when it was on tape delay in the middle of the night, right? I mean, that was the NBA Finals. Johnny Carson would end and be like, hey, now let's go to the NBA Finals. So you've come a long way from there. But it's curious, right? We're just in a weird time, right? Coming out of the pandemic, as folks are running amok too, because that's the other side of this too, is you've got to think folks aren't necessarily tied to their televisions going forward. So are they consuming on apps on their phones? Are we capturing those minutes and that consumption properly? I wonder if there's still some gaps in the reporting process.
For me, it comes down to this. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Is that I compare this to how it is in the NFL draft, right? Some years, the number one pick in the draft is somebody you absolutely have to get that people are fighting tooth and nail to go get, like Trevor Lawrence, right? That's LeBron James in this conversation, right? What, you know, sometimes the NBA Finals, it's a LeBron James experience and ratings are up and people care, and that's what it is. And all the other stars in the sport, are they the same? Because there's some years in the NFL draft where the number one pick is still the number one pick, but it's not nearly the same kind of player. Sometimes it's an offensive lineman. Sometimes they want to trade it. Sometimes it's a quarterback, but it's not quite the transcendent quarterback that a guy like Trevor Lawrence is. Sometimes the quarterback is Baker Mayfield. But we spend a lot of time talking about Baker Mayfield because, well, it's still the number one pick in the draft.
Sure.
The NBA Finals this year is going to be no LeBron James. So are Kawhi, Paul George, and Kevin, are they still worthy of talking about them as much? Are they still that much of a conversation mover as LeBron James is? Because I got to be honest, I got a hard time thinking if the NBA Finals is Nets Clippers, let's just say that's what it is. Because obviously if it's Jazz and the Nuggets and the Sixers, that's a different thing. This is where the NBA's got to,
sure,
you got to dig deep and go, okay, you really got to care about Joel Embiid, but ratings are going to wind up being down. But if you've pushed, and we've talked about these five players with the Nets and the Clippers,
sure,
like, hey, they're still their biggest stars in the game, on par with LeBron. And I don't know that they are. I can't believe the average person is going to be walking around the street talking about Paul George.
Kawhi, we don't know anything about Kawhi. So unless Uncle Dennis is going to spill the goods on everything going on in the Kawhi world, might require a payment of a helicopter or four. But beyond that, and a big mansion. What were the other asks? I don't even remember at this point, but there were all sorts of things that he wanted when Kawhi was, you know, in the free agent
right
world.
But how many people?
How many people know
who Uncle Dennis is? Right,
well,
like the big time
you can bring
NBA
him to the
fans,
world,
right? And today, an interview with Uncle Dennis. I mean,
well, and again, but your point is well taken. It's the all right NBA fans versus the casual. Hey, it's the finals. Let's give it a few minutes. It's important time. It's winning time kind of thing. Will they know? Not necessarily.
But that's the part is that because everybody that talks on the radio and on TV is big NBA fans, right? Big NBA. We're big NBA, big NBA. We talk about the big stars. They're not all created equal. I mean, you have the big stars. It's Tiger Woods in golf, right? When Tiger Woods is involved, everybody cares about Tiger Woods. Hey, Brooks Koepka is great, right? The fact that he and Bryson DeChambeau hate each other is great, right? But is that really a big through line? Is that something that takes you all the way through? That's why I'm fascinated to see how this turns out in a non-LeBron year when he's out this early in the playoffs, how the other stars can keep it going and keep it through. Because if not, then you understand the NBA still has a lot of work to do to get these guys over, and their popularity, they're really popular with the hardcore NBA fans. And that's a popularity that it seems like it's bigger than it is. Just because you have Bruce Brown trending on Twitter. And look, we have fun with Bruce Brown.
Yeah, tonight.
You know, missed the big shot. But we're not going to do 4 hours on Bruce Brown. Right, we're not going to do that. We're going to pick our spots and talk about what's going on and what went on in this game. It really is something because you're now talking about a non-playoffs without LeBron, the second time it's happened in the past 3 years. And let's see, are those other stars ready to take the mantle of I really care about KD? I really care about these guys. These guys have all been in the league a long time. You know, so I don't know that suddenly it's okay, now I care and I hate KD like I hated LeBron. That's going to be a really big thing for me to see how these ratings wind up going again, where it's the non-big star and the big teams in the big markets, New York, LA, Chicago, Miami, they're all out of the playoffs. They're all gone.
Yeah, we got to find some stories. Let's start making some stuff up. Let's go. Let's find some quote-unquote sources and go to town. At How About a Fresca, at Swollen Dome, if you have some dirt to make these people more interesting. All right, I'm just kidding. But that's really kind of where we're going to get, and it's fun. But hate watching is still a very real thing. Legacy plays, whatever else. But you're never going to match LeBron. So maybe people will just be mad, and they'll tune in to see how many Space Jam commercials are going to be on there. I don't know.